Nizuma's eyes swept the parking lot. Something didn't feel right. With all these cars, he wondered if someone was watching him. He chalked it up as paranoia resulting from a botched job. Nizuma's stomach growled, and he realized it had been many hours since he had eaten anything. On the way to the hospital, he recalled seeing a comfortable-looking restaurant that advertised fresh seafood. His mouth watered. They wouldn't rendezvous for another hour or so. A nice meal might be just the ticket to restoring his confidence in the overall mission. He watched Nizuma enter the restaurant and then set the camera down next to the laptop computer he had opened on the back floor of the van. He connected the USB cable to the computer and downloaded the pictures he had taken moments before. He opened his email program and composed a new message. After typing in the simple one-word name, along with the subject and priority, he typed, "Identify woman and provide history." He clicked the attachment icon and included the best close-ups he had shot. Then he clicked send and waited. The silver can was thoroughly icy, and he loved the crisp taste as it followed the excellent fish tempura he'd eaten.
Yes?
Master?
Are you all right?
Yes, I am in a coffee shop across the street from the train station.
Did you get food yet?
Yes.
Good. Then we'll be all set for when we have to move.
That's why I'm calling. I think you should come here as soon as you can.
Is something wrong?
Not at all. I have managed to find Ogawa and the American woman, Creed.
Oh, excellent work. How did you locate them so quickly?
I came directly here and waited. They came in a few moments ago and ordered some food. They're at the train station now. I followed them. They purchased tickets aboard a train bound for Mie Prefecture.
Where in Mie?
Iga.
Excellent. I will be there very soon.
He gestured the waitress over. She presented him with the bill, and he left a wad of cash on the table. Nizuma believed in tipping well for a great meal. And Shuko's news was the perfect dessert.
Ah, who are you?
He clicked the new message icon and waited. The message filled his screen. Woman's name is Shuko. No known other names. Reported to be the only member of Nezuma's clan he trusts implicitly. No history available from usual sources. She is extremely dangerous. He grinned. That much he already knew. But she intrigued him. People weren't born without any history. Someone must know something about her. And he wanted to know what they knew. The reply button beckoned. He clicked it and began typing up a new message.
You're still there?
Yes. They just boarded the train about 10 minutes ago. But it doesn't depart for another 20 minutes. We have time.
I got tickets.
The train runs express to Ueno, and thereafter makes a series of local stops. It's my belief they will get off in Ueno, however.
Nizuma nodded and scanned the train station again.
That makes the most sense. If they are attuned to their environment and suspect surveillance, they will opt to ensure they have a chance at losing us. It's what I would do. Let's get aboard. The sooner we find seats, the better. I don't want a crowd inhibiting our vantage points.
He watched from the concourse as Nizuma and the woman called Shuko boarded the train. His request for any information, even from questionable sources, came back with nothing. He frowned. How was it possible for someone to have no history whatsoever? Surely there was something out there he'd be able to use to his advantage. He would need to keep using his networks to scour for information. In the meantime, he would keep tabs on Nizuma and his escort. Perhaps fate would dictate that he and Shuko have a face-to-face meeting sooner rather than later. He smiled at the thought, and then bought a train ticket. The Japan Railway train shuddered along the old steel tracks, twisting through the dense rural countryside of Mie Prefecture. Anya stared out the window, wondering about what Taka had told them prior to their departure from the temple in Osaka. After the tea, the old man had led them down a hallway to another room, filled with maps stuffed into a honeycomb of cubbyholes. He took one out and unrolled it. Crude line drawings showed a detailed overlay. Taka traced his finger along what might have been contour lines.
The Yamabushi had a series of tunnels built into the very mountains of Iga itself. It was one such thing that helped them cultivate their aura of supernatural ability, much like the ninja.
And the Vajra is hidden there?
Somewhere in there. The system of caves is supposedly very dense, with various traps and pitfalls to waylay the uninitiated. I doubt very much any of the Yamabushi still in the area would guide you to what you seek.
I'm sure we'll be all right, as long as we know the general direction.
There's more. An ancient guardian protects the Vajra and the caves.
What kind of guardian?
A Kappa. Swamp vampire.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely not. I'm merely telling you that it is rumored to patrol the area. You would be wise to keep its presence in mind. I don't imagine you'd like to run into one of those.
Superstitions are one thing. I'm much more concerned about the very real threats Anya and I have been facing since we started this journey together.
Ah. Superstitions, whether you believe in them or not, exist for many reasons. Not the least of which might just be that they actually do exist regardless of what you happen to think.
A pesky, stout, dwarfish creature with a bowl of sake on his head is not going to deter me from finding what is rightfully mine. Thank you for your hospitality and for the information, but we should be going now.
As the train shot past the trees, Anya turned back to the window and could see the mountains some distance away, with puffs of gray and white clouds hugging their peaks.
This is the birthplace of ninjutsu.
Is it really?
Yes. The land here is rough. Not too many roads lead through it, even less in the old days. It provided a perfect refuge for those who practiced what many believed were dark arts. They called ninja sorcerers, in league with demons and various other evil creatures. In reality, the ninja use their enemies' beliefs to their advantage. Still, it's difficult to travel through this land without wondering if there really is some truth to the old legends and superstitions.
You don't think we're going to have a run-in with a sake-drinking creature, do you?
Like Taka said, you never know. But I'm more concerned about the traps inside the caves. We'll need some supplies.
Those mountains look big. What's the weather going to be like?
Cold at night, the higher up we go. We'll need extra clothing, flashlights, that sort of thing. You've done this before, right?
I'm no novice. As long as you can find us a store, we should be all set.
Good. We'll arrive in about 40 minutes. We should get some sleep. Who knows how far we might have to hike to reach the entrance to the caves.
That's if we find the caves.
Just have some faith. I think we'll be fine.
Anya settled back and closed her eyes. She hoped Ken was right. Nezuma spoke into his cell phone while watching Shuko make her way back down the train car.
I was very displeased to learn of the potentially lethal interference brought about by the Onigawa Gubi. Well, let's hope there are no more complications. If the Onigawa cannot control themselves, then we may never learn where the Dorje is hidden. And if that happens, we are right back where we started. Nowhere. Did you find them?
Two cars ahead of us. Both are asleep.
Good. At least they are none the worse for wear after that silly assault in Osaka.
I take it the Onagawa Gumi played it off as nothing?
The Yakuza are fools. They have little appreciation for what the Dorje means and how it can be used to further all our agendas if it is handled properly. Kenichi has caused them a tremendous loss of face, and they mean to make him pay for it. Unleashing their child assassins was their pathetic attempt to make him feel like less of a man for being forced to deal with them.
There's no evidence that he did deal with them.
And the people you spoke to confirmed it was one man who took them all out?
Yes, they were quite specific, actually. They didn't call him a man at all. They said he was a monk, complete with a ring, staff, and everything. There was little doubt about what he'd done.
And they report that there was some kind of strange fog or mist?
They say the alley filled with mist, and the monk walked right into the midst of it, taking the assassins out as easily as drawing a breath. When he was done, he simply walked back out of the alley and vanished in the crowds.
That must have played well with the police.
I imagine they have no idea what to do with the case. Presumably they will lose it in their bottomless pit of unsolved cases.
Presumably. In the meantime, we are somewhat closer to our own goal of recovering the Dorje.
You really think she will hand it over to us?
Of course not.
But you asked her for it anyway.
Nezuma brushed a hand along the length of Shuko's hair. She leaned into him and closed her eyes. Nezuma leaned closer to her ear.
Well, she must be allowed to feel like she still has some measure of control over her own destiny. Otherwise, she will feel like a trapped animal and respond accordingly. That would not help us. By allowing her to still feel some semblance of power, she will play right into our hands.
Have I always played into your hands?
There will be time for that later. For now, we have but one thing to set our minds to do.
Only one?
Perhaps later at the real con, there may be time for us to briefly allow ourselves an interlude.
I like interludes.
As do I. And when we have our hands on the door, Jay, at long last, there will be many more such interludes.
As long as we can keep the Yakuza from guessing we have recovered it.
And that will be the biggest task of all, I fear. Finding the Dorje thus far has largely been uncomplicated. Kenichi, for all his skill, is still resolved to finding it. Since he doesn't know where it is, it makes it harder for him to elude our surveillance, as much as he might try.
I'm not convinced he is trying, and I must admit I find that suspicious.
You think he knows we are on his trail?
He may well be setting a trap for us to walk into.
There would be very little he could arrange that would take us by surprise. I have, after all, the finest partner one could wish for.
I appreciate the compliment, Master, but I would prefer to reserve judgment about Kenichi until we have the item we seek in hand, and he and the woman are both dead.
I wonder how Miss Creed will react when she learns that it is I who has been taunting her at every stage of the game. Surely she will replay the ending moments of my victory at Budokan over and over. I imagine it will be enough to stop her in her tracks and enable me to finally strike her down dead.
I will enjoy that.
Soon enough, we'll be rid of the troublesome pair and be able to use the Dorje to create the destiny we have dreamed of.